ロンドン発英語よもやま話。このポッドキャストはイギリスに住むメディア通訳者、会議通訳者の平松理恵が、アメリカと日本で働く翻訳者のランサム・ハナさんをレギュラーパートナーにお迎えしてイギリスから配信しています。英語を勉強している皆さんのために、私たち二人が英語の授業や教科書には出てこない現地の英語表現のお話をしていきます。英語の裏話なども雑談形式でご紹介していこうと思います。ぜひ一杯の紅茶、コーヒーを片手に、私たちのくつろぎのひとときにお付き合いください。こんにちは、通訳者の平松理恵です。
こんにちは、翻訳者のランサム花です。
この間ね、ボードゲームをやってたんですよ、久しぶりに。
おー、ボードゲームね。
本当珍しいですけどね、最近やらなくなりましたけど。
サイコロを振って進むやつですね。
そうそう。それです、それです。そのサイコロの話なんですけど、英語だと、throw the dice とか言うじゃないですか。
言う。D-I-S-C-E ですよね。
そうそう。そうです。有名なジュリアス・シーザーの言葉で、サイは投げられたっていうのもありますよね。それ英語だと、die なんですよ。die is cast って言うじゃないですか。
die
is cast。dice じゃないんだなっていうんで、これをちょっと考えたんですよ。
待って。die is cast っていうのは、die is cast ってことですね。
そうです。
ってことは、die が単数形ね。
そうですね。そう。だから、サイコロって、単数と複数があって、単数は die で、複数が dice ってことなんですよね。
不規則ですね。
ある意味、ペニーとペニー、ペンスか、ペンスみたいな感じ。
なるほどね。
っていう。でもこれ、サイコロはダイスだと思ってる人が多い気がするんですよ。
いると思う。ひとまとめで、D-I-C-E で、という人いると思います。
ですよね。でも実は単数は、ダイなんだよっていう。まあなんて書くのって、D-I ですよね、確か。
D-I か。
ダイスカースト。で、サイは投げられたっていう。
そういうのありますね。不規則なね。
あります。カーストもね、不規則かなと思うんですけど。
そうだ。だって過去分詞なのに ED ついてないですからね。
ついてないですね。カーステッドとは言わないですもんね。
言わない。
釣り竿を投げたりとかするときもカーストって言いますよね。キャスティングとか言いますもんね。
そうですね。投げることなんですね、キャスティングってね。
そうですね。
これも不規則。
本当。で、そのキャストの派生語で、放送するとか、ブロードキャスト、そうだし。
ブロードキャスト。
ね、フォーキャスト、天気予報とか、予想するとかっていう、それなんかもフォーキャストだと思いますけど、これが動詞で使われるときに、そのまま過去形も過去分詞も変わらないんですよね。
そうですね。
っていう話なんですよ。
まあ、あれですね。いろんな。die is cast ってそのまま聞いたら、どこで切っていいのかって思いますよね。die is で切るのか、die is cast って一瞬考えましたね。
確かに知らなくて聞いたら、どこまでが一語なのかわからないっていうか。
わかりづらいと思いますね。
そうですよね。まあ、歴史が好きで、シーザーの言葉とかを知っていて、っていう人が聞けばわかるでしょうけどね。まあ、英語で言ったんじゃないですけどね、シーザーもね。
まあね。
英語訳ですけど。
そうですね。前の話ですからね、はい。
紀元前、うんちゃらっていう話ですよね。
そう。
でまあ、面白いなと思って。だからいつも、スゴロクとかって、サイコロ2つあるじゃないですか。バックギャモンとかやっても2つですよね。それでゾロ目だの、どうのこうのって言って、ゲームを進めていくから、
二つありますから、うん、あまり意識してなかったんですけどね。
うん。そうですね。
かなと思いました。
なるほど、なるほど。うん。
それでは、今週から、英語のコーナーを設けることにしました。その名前は、ズバリ、Your Life in 5 Minutes ということで、早速始めていきたいと思います。本日は、特別ゲスト、第1回のゲストとして、ルーシーさんをお招きしています。Hi, Lucy!
Hi, Lia san!
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
Thank you for, well, coming here. Great. Shall we dive in?
Yeah, let's get started.
Well, great. Let's get started. Now, the first question I'd like to ask you is, where are you from?
So it's not very glamorous, but it's Boston, in the UK. I wish I could say America maybe, but it's Boston in the UK. Yeah, that's in Lincolnshire. So not too far away from home here.
That's great. I've never been to Boston. Is this Boston in England, like related to Boston in America?
Yeah, so a long, long time ago, Pilgrim Fathers from Boston in the UK left for the US, and so they named Boston after our town, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's a bit like, where was that? Was it Durham or somewhere? Is it Washington? Was it Washington?
There are a lot of places in the US that are named after UK cities, yeah. So if you look on a map of the US, you'll find all sorts of British city names there. Yeah, there's lots.
So interesting. I think that is going to make a, you know, soul program by itself by going through all the city names.
UK and the US, yeah.
Yes, with history, and it's going to be a massive history lesson.
Yeah.
Oh, great. And so you are originally from Boston. And then you move to where you are now.
Yeah.
Is it far from Boston?
No, it's just about an hour away. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so that's fine. It's easy. Actually, all my family moved to Nottingham, so.
Oh, okay. That's handy.
So, yeah, we're all here now. Yeah, it's nice.
So nice to have family around.
It makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, great. Well, then your Japanese is fantastic, and I've been meaning to ask you how you came about to be interested in Japanese, learning Japanese. Did you have to learn it, or how did you, come about?
When I was 15, our city council started an exchange program with a town. In Japan called Mikawa in Ishikawa ken. So they asked some children from the local schools if they would like to go and stay with a Japanese family, and then the following year, we would have some Japanese students come and stay with us, and then the following year we would go and stay with them. So it's a kind of a town twinning program. And we were the first year for that to happen. So I went there when I was 15 for 2 weeks to live with a family. And I think it was partly my age, being a very impressionable teenager. It just blew my mind. And I absolutely fell in love with Japan. And as soon as I got home, my only plan was to go back there one day. But I wanted to go back and speak to people in Japanese. So that started the next 20 odd years of my life, going to university to study it and then going out there to work. And so it was a major kind of event in my life that just, I don't know what, you know, things would probably be quite different now if I hadn't have gone to Mikawa. Yeah.
Oh my God. I had no idea. When you mentioned the Mikawa, I thought it was in Aichi ken. Because I'm from it.
Yeah, this is in Ishikawa ken near Kanazawa, which is a beautiful, you know,
beautiful.
And it was, you know, such a kind of very traditional. It's, you know, not this kind of Tokyo city life. There were you know, the grandparents were living with the parents, and then the children, a very big house. You know, you often imagine the Japanese people kind of, you know, in Tokyo apartments, it's small. But this was a big house, very traditional, tatami mats. And it was beautiful. And to go there and to see these people, you know, and eating with chopsticks and, you know, and eating things like tofu, which, what's that? And it was just...
Do you like tofu from the...
I do now, but I have to be honest, when I first went there, I really found it difficult to eat the food. And it took a while, not until later on when I was living there. But now I love Japanese food, yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't blame you if you found it kind of, you know, odd or difficult to...
Yeah.
And say, you know, recognize it as a, you know, food. Although I love it because I grew up that way.
Yeah.
But if I just put myself in your shoes and imagine how it would have been.
Yeah, I mean, I was only 15, so I was, you know, and living in a small town in the UK, so sort of, you know, it was very sort of exotic. It seemed like very exotic food, and I remember that, you know, they were really trying. They really wanted us to sort of enjoy ourselves. And they were like, "What do you like eating? What do you want?" And I said, "Pizza and chips." And so, the next morning at about 7:30 in the morning, I came downstairs and they had made me pizza and chips for breakfast.
Did you expect that?
I was very surprised.
Pizza and chips for breakfast.
It was just so kind. Yeah, very kind.
Oh, that's very considerate.
Yeah, they were lovely.
I can almost imagine, you know, really like how it would have been, like what kind of conversation you probably had with your host family and that, you know, bringing.
It was amazing. Yeah, we did, because they didn't speak any English, and yet we would sit up every evening and we would just get a pencil and paper and we would write pictures, and this is a map of the UK, and this is where my family are from, and we would just draw pictures, and somehow without the language, we were able to really enjoy some really interesting kind of communication. Yeah,
that's ultimate, I think. Really non-verbal communication, and then you can actually almost exchange everything that you have in mind, they did in their mind.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fun.
It was fantastic. So much fun.
Oh, great. And then you are now very fluent in Japanese. One thing that you kept held dear to yourself, that this is my secret, that you've never shared or something like this, and anything?
I'm not sure about in the beginning when I started learning Japanese. But as I became, as I sort of progressed, I definitely found trying to sort of read, but read for enjoyment. So, you know, trying to find like magazine articles, or even, you know, like a website about, you know, like a movie website, the latest movies that are coming out, and just trying to sort of read, but in topics that I enjoyed, because it helps your motivation. So not forcing yourself to read really difficult texts that, you know, you wouldn't really be interested in normally in reading, but just trying to find some light reading about things that you enjoy. Watching TV in Japan with the subtitles on was very helpful. The Japanese subtitles, that was helpful. And of course, you know, when I moved out there to work, I started teaching English, but it wasn't really until I got into a Japanese company. It was a translation company, actually, but it wasn't until I moved away from that and got into sort of, the business outside of language teaching, that it really sort of took off, I think, because I was having to communicate in a Japanese office. So, yeah.
Okay. じゃあ、この続きは来週ということで、それではまた。
この番組では皆さんからの英語の勉強に関するご相談やご質問を受け付けています。番組内でお答えしていきますので、お気軽にどしどしお寄せください。リエロンドンオフィシャルサイトのお問い合わせページの問い合わせフォームをご利用いただき、懸命にポッドキャストの質問と入力し、コメント欄にご相談内容を記入してください。ご希望のペンネーム、匿名希望の方はその旨を記載してください。ウェブサイトは www.rie.london www.rie.london です。ご連絡をお待ちしています。